This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Join Ira Flatto on the next Science Friday for the latest on the avian flu outbreak. Plus, the Democratic primaries are underway, and according to a recent report, electronic voting machines are keeping the counts accurate but not safe from hackers. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Right now, after almost 2 weeks of criticism questioning the accuracy of pre-war intelligence, CIA Director George Tenet gave a public address this morning, strongly defending his agency's collection and interpretation of intelligence before the war. In a speech at Georgetown University here in Washington, Mr. Tenet outlined how the intelligence community evaluated Iraq's weapons of mass destruction programs over the past 10 years and how it reached its pre-war conclusions. We'll be hearing some of Mr. Tenet's remarks and talking about what they mean with two guests who join us now. Ronald Kessler is a former Wall Street Journal and Washington Post reporter. He's the author of The CIA at War, Inside the Secret Campaign Against Terror. He's with us from his office in Maryland. Thanks for being with us, Ronald.
Good to be with you.
Also joining us is James Bamford. He's the author of A Pretext for War, 9/11, Iraq, and the Abuse of America's Intelligence Agencies. And he's with us on the line from his office here in Washington. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
If you have a question for our listeners, give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Let me start with you, Mr. Bamford. Mr. Tenet said today that there had always been differences among intelligence analysts about what kinds of weapons programs Iraq was pursuing, but that no one in the intelligence community ever said that the threat was imminent, which was the main argument that President Bush used for going to war. First, let's hear what George Tenet said.
Let me be clear. Analysts differed on several important aspects of these programs, and those debates were spelled out in the estimate. They never said there was an imminent threat. Rather, they painted an objective assessment for our policymakers of a brutal dictator who is continuing his efforts to deceive and build programs that might constantly surprise us and threaten our interests. No one told us what to say or how to say it.
Let us talk first about the use of that word imminent. As far as we've been able to tell so far, no one in the administration ever used that particular word, though President Bush did say in a speech in the UN on September 12, 2002, he said Saddam posed a grave and gathering danger. Is this more than a semantic difference?
Well, it was very clear from the actions of the administration that the whole tone was that this was an imminent danger. George Tenet was sitting right behind Colin Powell, the Secretary of State, when he gave his address to the United Nations, and he used the word very grave threat. There was talk by Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, about mushroom clouds and so forth. I don't know, you know, how much more you can beat somebody over the head with or about to be attacked than use those kind of images and words. In addition to that, the whole premise here was that there wasn't enough time to let the inspectors who were over there, I mean, the inspectors are what you consider human intelligence agents, all over the country. We were flying U-2 spy planes over the country. We were doing all kinds of intelligence gathering within the country. Yet the threat was such a danger, we had to pull all these people out and invade the country. That, to me, clearly means it's an imminent threat.
Ron Kessler?
Well, I think we have to use common sense here. You know, clearly he was developing weapons of mass destruction. He was doing it under the nose of the inspectors. David Kaye has said that. In fact, he said that Iraq was even more of a threat in the past several years because it was somewhat out of control because Saddam was so out of it. So what do you do? Do you just wait, or do you pick apart words like imminent, or do you wait as we did with 9/11 until it actually happens?
Well, where are those?
That is a political decision, and that's, you know, I think the right decision. I don't think anybody would say, you know, let's bring Saddam back out of his prison cell, put him back in power, let him develop more weapons, let him kill more people.
Let me move on to you just referred to David Kaye, the former head of the Iraq Survey Group. Now, a lot of the current debate over this started because Mr. Kay said, quote, we were all wrong, unquote, about Iraq possessing weapons of mass destruction. And today Mr. Tenet seemed to be responding directly to that. He said that the search is not over. We are nowhere near 85% finished. Ron, what do you make of what Mr. Tenet was saying with regard, is he responding directly to David Kay?
Well, you know, if you actually read all of what Kay has said, especially on NPR, I think that was the best interview. He said that a lot of the records have been destroyed. There was material going over to Syria. We'll never know what that was. These weapons are very small. Some of them may never be found. So he essentially was, you know, agreeing with Tenet. You know, unfortunately, everything. People on both sides of the debate can draw sustenance from David Kay's remarks. You know, the bottom line is, of course, he was developing weapons of mass destruction. It's very hard to find them. It certainly is embarrassing that we haven't found them yet. I happen to think we will, but even if we don't, it's clear that he was a threat. And again, do we just wait or do we connect the dots, which is what Tenet was doing? The you know, the media has been very one-sided on this, and one example is the whole claim that the analysts were pressured began with a story in the Washington Post last summer, which said that Dick Cheney visited the CIA, as you remember, and some of the analysts there felt that constituted pressure. In the third paragraph of that same story, it said, but other analysts who were there thought it was just great. They were so pleased that he was interested in their work. Now, if that had been in a lead, and a lead said Dick Cheney came out to the CIA and some analysts thought it was pressure, but other analysts welcomed it, thought it was wonderful, that story never would have run because it would have been so absurd. And that is really the only evidence so far that analysts were pressured.
James Bamford, do you think the media has been one-sided on this?
Well, I thought the media was one-sided before we went to war. There was very little criticism and very little analysis of what we were going to war over. There was a fairly rapid desire to get people over there to cover the war, but not too many people wanted to stay back here and look at the reasons why we were doing it. In terms of the media right now, well, that's I think what you would expect when the chief weapons inspector comes back and says we were all wrong. And I completely disagree with Mr. Kessler on some of the things he just mentioned regarding production of weapons of mass destruction. There is no evidence, none, zero, that he was producing any weapons of mass destruction. We've found absolutely no evidence of it, and the administration would very much like to extend this thing to beyond the upcoming election. They very much would like to have all discussion of this held off until George Bush has no election in front of them, and I think that's the tactic that they're using right now.
Let me return right now to Mr. Tenet's words today, because he had some interesting things to say about the difficulty of collecting and analyzing intelligence. Let's listen to some tape from his address today.
By definition, intelligence deals with the unclear, the unknown, the deliberately hidden. What the enemies of the United States hope to deny, we work to reveal. The question being asked about Iraq in the starkest terms is, were we right or were we wrong? In the intelligence business, you are almost never completely wrong or completely right. That applies in full to the question of Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. And like many of the toughest intelligence challenges, when the facts of Iraq are all in, we will neither be completely right nor completely wrong.
That was CIA Director George Tenet speaking today here in Washington, and we are talking about Mr. Tenet's remarks regarding intelligence gathering before the war in Iraq. If you would like to join our discussion, give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. James Bamford, with regard to those remarks that we just heard, there's a lot of truth to what he's saying, that intelligence gathering perhaps is an inexact art.
Well, let me tell you, if you're going to declare war on a country that hasn't attacked you and isn't threatening you, you better be absolutely sure that you're right, because we're there's been over 500 Americans killed now because of this, and probably more than 10,000 Iraqi civilians killed. So you should be right. There's no cause for ambiguity after the fact. If you're going to go to war, you should be right, and we were wrong. That's what David Cave said, and that's what virtually everybody agrees with now, is that there was no weapons of mass destruction. He never had a any development plans for nuclear weapons. All this talk about mushroom clouds is absolute nonsense. Even George Tenet today said it wouldn't have been until at least 2007 before they could ever develop anything.
Ron Kessler.
There was no emergency, no imminent threat, and the missiles that he had, the inspectors were over there destroying at the time that we pulled them out of Iraq. So, no, there was no threat from Iraq, and yes, he should have been right before we declared war on Iraq.
Ron Kessler.
Well, that's an example of what the media has been doing. They pick apart one little item, namely the nuclear threat, whereas David Kaye himself reported dozens of additional programs in the biological area and the chemical area, and said that a lot of this could be developed overnight. Ricin, for example, could be developed overnight, and we're dealing with someone who has used chemical weapons in the past. So the question is, do you just wait until he's in a position to blackmail us? With a small amount of anthrax, he could kill 10 or 20,000 people. Again, I go back to 9/11. We knew that bin Laden had attacked us before, and yet, there was no obvious imminent threat to the United States. So we sat back and did nothing. And we're either going to learn the lessons of 9/11 or we're going to suffer the consequences.
All right, let's see if we can get a call in here now. Michael in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling actually to comment, to go back a step in Mr. Kessler's remarks. And I think he's being fairly disingenuous and actually being somewhat misleading to the audience in two ways. One, his comment about Ricin that he just made. It goes against the fact that the Iraqis had already said in other communications that they'd given up on Ricin because it didn't work particularly well. Secondly, all of these comments about how David Kaye is right or wrong in his current assessment seems to ignore the fact that prior to the invasion, Scott Ritter, who was at the time the head of the inspections groups, had very clearly come out and said there was no evidence of any weapons of mass destruction. And it's as if Mr. Ritter's comments never existed, and yet now we find that he was right, that there is no evidence of any existing real weapons of mass destruction. The only evidence that exists that Mr. Kaye or anybody else has referred to is evidence of programs that might have led to the development of, but if the inspectors were still allowed to be on the ground, the invasion never would have had to happen.
Ron Kessler.
David Kaye made the reference to Ricin on the NPR interview. He said that he found that they had all the components ready to produce Ricin overnight.
But we agree that there really is no reason to, because it doesn't work particularly well. Everybody understands that.
Well, they certainly got upset about it when they thought it was in the Capitol recently.
Media event, isn't it?
Very smart to just say, well, this isn't the biggest threat, so therefore let's not worry about it. And the second,
what about Mr. Ritter's comments before the war
on Ritter? Well, first of all, his credibility has been undermined by the fact that he got involved in some kind of movie deal involving the Iraqis and was paid, et cetera. So, and that's history. I think you have to look at the latest David Kaye report. I think David Kaye, is an honest guy, but he's said things on both sides of the argument. I think you have to look at all the material and make up your own mind.
But isn't part of what's going on here how the intelligence was used, it's certainly the intelligence community certainly seems to be saying, we sent this. We don't make policy. We told them what we knew, and they analyzed it in a certain kind of way. We didn't tell them how to analyze it.
That's right, it comes down to, Jim was saying, well, you have to be absolutely right before you go and undertake an attack before someone has attacked you, and I certainly agree that this is an unusual situation. But now we're in a different world, where we have terrorists, where we have crazy people such as Saddam, where we have weapons of mass destruction that can be brought over in someone's suitcase, things have changed, and we're either going to learn to adapt to that, or we're going to face we're going to be destroyed.
All right. Thanks to both of you for being with us today. Ronald Kessler is a former Wall Street Journal reporter and author of The CIA at War. James Banford is the author of A Pretext for War, 9/11, Iraq, and the Abuse of America's Intelligence Agencies. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.